That was very nice of her to do.
Right. We appreciate it. Okay. So the we are up to the final chapter of Shmuel Aleph. Now, for those of you who want to know whether we can eat the fleishiks at this siyum that we're about to have, the answer is absolutely not, because it's not really a siyum. There is no such thing as Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Aleph was invented by the early Christians. I'm not sure exactly who did it. It wasn't really accepted in the Christian Bible even until a few hundred years afterwards. Right. Right, but we definitely don't think that. We believe that there are 24 books in Tanakh, and Shmuel's only one of them. But any excuse to eat ice cream is good enough for us. We're not picky.
Here's my question. Did they think it was just too cumbersome? And that's why, do we know why?
You got to ask the early church leaders. That's not really my area of expertise. Yeah. I've got to be honest here.
Yeah.
Okay, when we left off, we were discussing the idea that Shaul was in a very, very bad place. That Shaul had been chasing David for quite some time. And finally, David just decided to check out. He went over to the other side of the Plishtim, where he was hanging out. He found himself in a little bit of an uncomfortable position, where he would almost have to fight against his own Jewish nation. But thankfully, God worked things out. Everything was good for him. And now he is back on the Plishtim side, and there's going to be a war. And spoiler alert, earlier on already, Shaul knows how this is going to end, right? Shmuel was brought down through the Baal's Ov somewhat or another, and Shmuel said that Machar, tomorrow you and your children will be Imi b'mechitzasi, you'll be visiting me on the other side. So he knows that this is going to be a loss for him, and this parak is not going to disappoint. So let's start. Lamed Aleph Aleph. So we see Plishtim nilchamim b'Yisrael v'yanusu anshe Yisrael b'nei Plishtim v'yipru chalol mahar Gilboa. So the Plishtim chase after the Yisrael, and right away Yisrael are in retreat. I think it's in the book that's next to you, Dr. Jacobs. Right away, there are soldiers that are falling towards Har Gilboa. Vayad beku plishtim eshol ves bana vayaku plishtim ves Yehonasan ves Avinadav ves Malkishua b'nei Shaul. And right away, Shaul and his sons are caught in an uncomfortable by the plishtim, and three of Shaul's sons. Right, the sons that we know. There she is, the caterer is here. Oh, come on, take it. You have to take it. You don't have to eat it. You just have to take it.
You have to.
Well, rules are rules.
You have to.
You have to take it.
No, you can't share. It's not in the chair.
Is that enough for everybody?
Rabbi, are you going to want one?
No.
I'll
share. No, Marsha, I only eat kosher.
Okay.
Can I see?
Yes.
No. Can I have the bus?
Okay.
Share with it. So you can. No left
right.
Yeah. I looked for something.
Right. So all of a sudden, you bring for the Shrivers also and for Richard?
They're not, I hear they're not good sharers.
They're not good sharers. They don't get any. So here we are. So the three of the sons of Shaul, Yehonah's son, who was the very close friend of David, and Avinadav and Malchishua, they are all slain by the Philistines.
They are. So that was
right, as was predicted. Now, Vatichbar Hamilchama El Shaul, Vayimtzu Amorim Anashim Bakeshas Vayachal Mo Me'amorim. And with that, they're closing in on Shaul, and the archers all have Shaul in their crosshairs, and Shaul was very nervous about the archers. Vayomer Shaul Renose Cherov, Shlof Chabacha de Kareniba, Penyavo Harerim Hailu de Karuni Visalubi. Well, Ovenose Cherov, Kirema Ova, Ikashos Acheva Yipolala. So, Shaul who realizes he's about to be killed, turns to his arms bearer and says to him, "Do me a favor, kill me before they kill me." And his arms bearer says, "No way." And with that, Shaul falls on his sword and kills himself.
Whoa. Is this where that expression comes from? Or
what expression?
To fall on your sword.
Rabbi, what age are we on, girls? Do you know?
We're in chapter 31, we just read verse 4. And with that, Pasuk Hey, Vayar Nosei Cherov Ki Mei Shaul, Vayipol Gamhu Al Charbo Vayam Hashem. And with that, the arms bearer realizes what happens, and he too falls on his sword. Now, the what I would like to discuss here is, how is he allowed to do that? You're not allowed to commit suicide.
Shaul and?
Right? Right, we definitely assume that committing suicide is a terrible sin. So what gave Shaul the right to do this? Now, very interesting. We start with the Gemara in Yevamos, which is kind of a back door again into what we're going to discuss. So much later on, at the end of Shmuel Beis, when things are really going to end, we're going to really have a see him. See, Vayhi Rabbi Mei David Shaul Shanim Shana Acher Shana. There came a point in David's monarchy that there was a three-year famine. 3 years in a row. Shana Rishona. So first year you're having a famine. He's got to think, why? Why is God doing this? He said, maybe the people are idol worshippers. And it says, he quotes a pasuk, that says that if you in fact worship idols, the rains will stop and that will lead to a famine. And he checked, and in fact, no, there weren't idol worshippers. The next year, we have another famine. And he says, maybe that people are, there's sexual immorality among the people. And that leads to famine. And no, in fact, that neither. Then there was a third year, and there was still famine. And he said, well, maybe there are people out there who have the ability to give charity who aren't. And that leads to famine. And they checked it. No. In fact, whoever had the ability was given charity.
Who's the checker?
What? Where's Bob. Bob the checker.
I'm not looking for somebody to say. Oh. How does one check these things in a community?
You ask around. You know, you talk to people. You go to the red light district. You say, how's business going? If business is slow, you know, that's not the problem.
Got it.
You know, these are the things that you go around to the institutional advancement people and say, now, how's the fundraising going? It's going fine. It's not that.
So it's not. Okay.
So finally, he throws up his hands. Three lines to the bottom, from the bottom, he says, Omar, ain't a double totally LOB. I got to figure this out. So he prays to God. He said, can you please tell us what it is? Why are you upset that we've gone 3 years now of drought and we're having a famine? Mahi. So how did he talk to God? He went to the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol to ask, "My Mashma Raza Asya Pnei Pnei Ksiv Hachvi Vakish Davras Pnei Hashem Ksiv Hasam B'Shal Lifnei Mishpat B'Shal Robin Mishpat Haurim Lifnei Hashem." So he goes. He asked the Urim V'Tumim. So he said, "What's the reason for it?" Vayomer. Hashem al Shaul v'al Beis Adamim Asher Lo Hashem Nisa Givonim al Shaul Shlo Nisbat Kalacha. God says, "You want to know why we're having a famine? Because you did not properly eulogize Shaul when he died." Now, do we eulogize someone who committed suicide? No.
Well, they do nowadays. Yes, I've been.
So leaving along the practical, really, you're not supposed to. So the question is here, so why is God upset that he didn't get enough of a eulogy if he committed suicide? So clearly the implication was that God held, and that's an important opinion, that whatever Shaul did was right. That Shaul had a right to take his own life. So why does Shaul have a right to take his own life and most people don't?
So we're back to this. It's almost like an honor question. In other words, Shaul knows from God direct, well, from
Shmuel.
That's pretty direct. That tomorrow you're not going to
live. He was going to die by the end of the day one way or the other.
Right. And that his kingship is over. So I don't know whether Shmuel tells him about the sons. I don't remember. He does.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows all of that ahead of time. So then we're dead is dead, however. So somehow there's some kind of an honor issue about.
Right. So the question is,
but wait a second. Want to be killed by Aurelius. These Alleluvi, you know.
Right.
They're going to praise themselves. You don't want to give them the satisfaction.
Right. So is that the reason? So in fact, there are a list of reasons. There's several suggestions that are offered why Shaul had the right to kill himself, and that may or may not have practical ramifications. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, Katan ha-ma'abe etzmo adas. If somebody is a minor under the age of bar mitzvah, unfortunately it happens. Right, my sister-in-law, her boss, her 10-year-old child took her own life.
You're kidding.
Right? So in that case, you don't hold back the eulogies, etc., because the child didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have the requisite knowledge. He says, that's choshev kishalo ladas, v'chein ha-gado ma'abed atzmo ladas. And he says, similarly, somebody who is above the age bar mitzvah, v'hu anus kishol ha-melech, however, he's mentally not in a good place, like Shaul HaMelech was, right? So in those cases, a monumental chol davar. So what does the Shulchan Aruch be saying? Why do we not blame Shaul? Because he was mentally not well. He had a pre-existing mental condition that led this to happen, and therefore we don't hold it against him. Right, so if somebody unfortunately is not right mentally,
but that's true of someone who takes their own life.
No, not always at all.
Because he had very good reason here, it makes it less likely that it was because of his.
But you're saying that
melancholy, or because of depression, or because mm-hmm. of
right.
Any emotional
okay.
issue.
So
he logically figures out that it's better for me to do this.
Right, it makes a decision. It seems to be a thought-out decision.
And that's okay?
So again, so the Shulchan Aruch is saying, listen, in general, he was not mentally well, and therefore, that's the reason of one. Yes?
There were people in Europe who committed suicide rather than be taken by the Germans.
Correct.
To death.
Correct. Obviously, we don't judge them one way or the other. In the Holocaust, there are people who took their lives, as Marcia said.
The Germans wouldn't.
The Beis Yosef has a second approach, and this is arguably the most important approach. So let's take a look. Well, who says that the people were right? Just because they did it doesn't make it right.
Wait a minute. Who says that they were right to take
their own lives? Yeah.
Well, they were going to be captured and tortured and or killed or taken slavery, so that's okay.
It's not okay to be taken slavery, but that's but again, if
it, I'm saying, is that a good alternative to death?
So there is a strong argument that says, no, actually you do not have a right to take your life.
I've heard you speak on that before, and I understand that. So right. Torture and slavery is an option.
So, I mean, it's an option.
I'm trying to give it to you in a straight way here.
Well, that's not so straight. The question is, if you're going, is it an option? The question is, if you're being taken into slavery, right? Let's say somebody is just given life in prison. Do they have a right to take their life rather than spend the rest of their life in prison? That would be the modern day equivalent.
Right. And so I'm saying it's right. an option.
So the answer is that no, you don't have a right
that
to take
your life. Spend your life tortured.
Right. Spend your life in prison. That's the argument. But that's not the Masada. Again?
So the people at Masada were wrong to do what they
did? We're about to discuss that, right? Right. To call them heroes, I wouldn't be so quick. Now, again, Masada is actually worse in this case because it's one thing to take your own life. It's another thing to take someone else's life.
They killed each other. Yeah.
Right. So again, so remember, Masada is...
And Gamla.
What?
And Gamla.
I'm going for the popular one. Okay. I'm playing to the crowd.
Those people know. Even though Gamla
happened first. Mm-hmm. So remember that if anything, the Masada set up and the Gamla set up is worse than this, because they drew lots and then they killed each other, which right. is, which is one thing if I want to take my life, but again, physician-assisted suicide, where I'm going to take your life because I decide your life isn't worth living.
No, I've decided my life.
Just you.
Help, if you're going to use doctor suicide.
Correct. You made right, gosh, I have to make a decision that, right, if you came over to me on your own, out of the blue, and say, you know what, I want to kill myself, but I'm chicken. Would you do me a favor?
Yeah, that's not a good example.
Not, right, right. So therefore, I have to make a decision that I think you're right in not wanting to live in order for me to go through with this. Because if I think you're wrong, I'm not supposed to do it.
I get that, but if I approach you and I'm in the end state, or I know I'm coming and I have Lou Gehrig's disease, and I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm at that point, I could see myself coming and asking for help.
Correct. And I've got to make a decision then.
I get it.
So the Beis Yosef actually discusses this, right? So the Beis Yosef, Kosov Archas Chaim, Bebreshis Rabba, Dorish, Vachas Dimchem, Nashro Sechem, it's a pasuk in Parshas Noach that you're not allowed to spill blood. As Haralechonik as Navsho, the Medrash says that that is actually where the source comes from, that a person is not allowed to hang themselves. Yochafil Chananya Mishava Azaria. What about Chananya Mishava Azaria, who threw themselves into a fiery furnace rather than to worship idols? Tamar Omar Ach said, no, there are exceptions. Pirsha B'shasa Shmad Yochal Asma Asma L'Misa L'Aragas Asma Imu Yorish Lo Yuchal Lama B'Nisayon. Said if there is a time of religious persecution, so in that case, in case of religious persecution, I have a right to give up my life rather than to be rather than to violate one. For example,
distinction between giving up one's life or throwing yourself into the furnace versus killing yourself literally.
Correct. There is a difference. Meaning that if you come over to me and you say, you know, worship. Worship Avodah Zarah, or I'm going to kill you.
Then you're supposed to Yehara Val Yavar.
Right, Yehara Val Yavar.
Which means you kill yourself first.
Meaning, no, you let them kill you.
You let
them. So what right? if he says, you worship the Avodah Zarah, or you have to kill yourself?
Right, so
then
yeah.
I'll kill you.
Yeah, that doesn't work so good.
Thanks, Alex.
Right, but this case is that, you know, I know I'm going to be tortured until I worship idols, and I am nervous that I am going to break. So he says, in that case, you're allowed to take your own life.
Because you may become weak and...
Right. That's what we're saying here. V'chein yachol afil kishol ben kish. Now we discuss the shol. Shem yare shema yasol yisurim kashim shiachol lim sor asfil v'misa. He said, if I'm nervous, if I'm saying to myself, oh my goodness, if they're about to torture me, as Shaul would have been tortured,
yes.
So then the Beis Yosef says, you're allowed to give up your life. This is a very important statement, but it's very much a minority opinion, so much of a minority opinion that the Beis Yosef himself is about to reject it in the next line. And some people say this is why you're allowed to kill children when the enemies are coming. It's very similar to the Masada Gamo.
You're allowed to kill children some, when the
enemy? The case of Masada. Some say that. The Yesh Osrim. However, others disagree. He said, you can never kill yourself. Hanan and Mishael Azariah, they didn't kill themselves, but rather they allowed themselves to have someone else throw them in. But you can never take your own life. So what about Shaul? But Shaul did fall on his own sword. He didn't walk into the
line. I thought he did walk into the line.
They threw him in. They said, that's it. If you're going to pray, you're going to...
I thought he was.
So then the Beis Yosef here says, but wait a second, isn't that the answer for Shaul? Right? Didn't we just say Shaul was allowed to? He did, because if not, he would have been tortured. So he says, no. Shaul ben Kish shelo beratzon chachamim asa. He did wrong. Yes, he did it because he was nervous that he was going to be tortured. However, that doesn't mean it was right what he did. So therefore, that is the story here. That is the, in fact, the Beis Yosef raises the possibility that a person can give up their life rather than be tortured. This is a very important halacha, again, beyond the scope of an avish here, regarding, for example, physician-assisted suicide. If someone comes up and they says, listen, I've lived a good life, but I have Alzheimer's now, and I know there's going to be a point where I'm not going to recognize anybody, and in fact, I don't want my children, grandchildren to remember me as somebody, you know, who is just out of it, right? Before that happens, I want to take my life, right? So here, the answer, the second approach is absolutely not. Even though this might be terrible torture, and we don't understand it, but if this is what God has in store for you, for us, that's it. Right, again, right. It's also not necessarily a smart idea. So I would agree with that.
I'm sorry. What's
wrong? I don't know. I can't recall. Chazen Cole.
Yes.
Can you mute yourself? I love.
That's a wonderful thing. I don't know how to do it. Sure. Let's see if I can. How is that?
If I can hear you say how this, it's not good. Oh, good. You're muted. That's good. All right. Okay. I think that now we're better.
Thank you.
Okay. So the Beis Yosef raises the possibility that perhaps it was allowed because of this idea that you're allowed to take your own life if the other option is torture, but he quickly backs away from it. In fact, you look at the Sefer Chassidim.
What if the other option is making you do Chilul Hashem?
What's that?
Right. So again, the argument is that, so that's what we said. If in the event that, you know, you will not be able to stop yourself from sinning, right? So again, that's another answer here, which we'll get to. That would perhaps be different. The Sefer Chassidim, I just put it in as number 4 here, makes it clear. Im adam sova yisurim gedolim. If a person is suffering terribly, v'omer le'echad ploni ata roesh lo achyem. The guy said, listen, I'm not going to live much longer. Hargeni, kilo chalisbol. Please kill me now because I can't take it. Right? This is the classic assisted suicide. Yes, Patty?
Yes.
Al yigabo. Don't touch him. Avol Shaul mutter mivnei shelo yischal shem shemayim b'Yisrael. Shaul was different. If the king would have been marched through the streets, the king of Israel, that would have been a chil Hashem, would have been terrible for the nation.
Dragged and beaten.
Right, as we'll see what they do to him after he's dead. Right? So that's why it's not just any person who fears what's coming next. So he said, V'im yisurim gedolim ba'am al-adam v'yodeh shol yichya, einu yachol l'harag atzmo. If I know I'm going to die from this anyhow, it doesn't make a difference. And we see that from the case of Hananya ben Trajan. We're going to read about Hananya ben Trajan probably on Thursday, doing the Asara Haruge Malchus. And again, he would not do anything to speed up his death. They said, open your mouth and the flames will. He wouldn't do it. So again, so the idea that perhaps it's allowed because of the torture, that's generally rejected. The idea that he was the king, that makes things different. Right? So far, we have a few answers, right? We discussed the possibility, maybe it's because of his mental state. Maybe it was because of torture. Maybe it was because of the Chil Hashem. And maybe what he did was wrong. That was also...
Status.
Right.
The status is
key. Correct. But that's the Chil Hashem. But look at the Radak. The Radak in number 5 says, Lo chata shol bahargo atzmo. He did not sin by killing himself. But afo pisha kosov, achas dimche, Now, So one another answer he says is, well, this was different because he knew he had to die now. He was told by the Navi, you have to die, and therefore it was inevitable. So he was going to die at this point one way or the other. We will discuss this. So it's a kind of a little bit of a twist of that. He says, listen, if I'm going to die one way or the other, better I should die on my own hands rather than they get the satisfaction of killing the king of Israel. Not everybody's excited about that answer either. Right? If you look at the Yafei Toar, which is a parish on the Medrash in number 6.
Who is that? Or what is that?
It is a commentary on the Medrash Rabbah.
And who wrote that?
I don't know.
Okay.
He said, "Ein l'makom l'chol misovei v'ayveyam." He said, you can't say anybody in general who's about to be killed can kill themselves. He said, everybody always has a chance that they can be saved. You never know if it's really over, as opposed to Shaul, not only did he find himself in this terrible position, but he also had a nevuah telling him that he was about to die. So the Maharsham is bothered. So the Maharsham is bothered by two points here. One is Chana's point. What about what's called Chaye Sha'a? We assume that every moment of life has value. That's number one. And number two is, there's another story in Malachim, which we'll get to hopefully eventually, which tells the story of Chizkiyah HaMelech. Yeshayahu HaNavi comes to Chizkiyah HaMelech and tells him, it's over. You're sick, you're in bed, you're about to die.
Okay.
And he said, thank you for the message, now go home. He said, what do you mean? He said, I believe in the power of prayer. Even though you have a nevuah, and you tell me I'm going to die, and your message comes from God, I think I can change it. And in fact,
that's what Shul is about.
He does. He prays to God,
wow.
And he says, gets 15 more years out of it.
Wow.
In those 15 years, he gets married.
That's quite a model.
He has a kid. The kid becomes a terrible Rasha. It wasn't the happiest thing, right? But he actually marries Yeshayahu's daughter.
Huh.
So the question is, so what do you mean Shmuel said? But here, what do I care that Shmuel said here? He said, we have the Chizkiyah had Yeshayah said. Also got the word from God through a messenger. So he's bothered by these two parts of the answer. There's one more answer I'm going to throw out there, and this is not an answer I necessarily support, but it's just something notable. It's more Kabbalistic, which isn't really my speed, to be honest. He says, he quotes the Arizal, we know the Ari, "Shekol neshos hayu b'dos shonu bo achar kach b'solch b'nei Yisrael," that all of the early souls came back and were reincarnated. For example, Moshe's v'lemech shivim v'shiva. So when, if you remember, Lemech was the descendant, the seventh generation of Cain. Very good. And what happened? What was the story with Lemech? Lemech was out shooting. He thought he was shooting an animal. He was blind. But he actually ended up killing
Cain.
Correct. And afterwards, he got so upset, he slapped his hands together and he killed two Valkyrie. He killed two people. And his wives, Ada and Sila, this is all in Bereishis.
Yeah.
They were upset about this. And they said, you know, just Cain killed his brother and that was the end of it for him. You for sure it's over. So Lemach turns around and he says, what are you telling me? Cain killed on purpose. And he got to live seven generations. I killed by accident. I'll get 77 generations.
He did.
So it says here.
Why is he hunting?
What?
Why is he shooting if he's blind?
He had a spotter.
The spotter.
The spotter.
And the,
what?
You like the challenge.
Right. So while you said to hunt, while you can see, anyone could do that. So he says, Shenishmas Lemech, so this neshama, Nisgalgo Bishol. In this case, Lemech became reincarnated as Shol. There were 77 generations. When he says, I'll get 77 generations, that was Shaul. Hard to figure out how that works exactly. And in fact, the Osios Lemech, Lemech is the same letters as
Melech.
Correct. Osios Melech. Sheshaul Shua Melech Harishon B'Yisrael Vaz Narag V'Tikei Neshamos Lemech. That Shaul had to die this way in order that the soul of Lemech would be considered complete. You have questions about that?
I don't.
Yeah, he could have died a little later too.
Listen, I don't know anything from this.
Do we know when Lemech died from the Torah?
What? A long, long time ago.
I get that, but
in again, way, if you're holding the mail for him, don't bother anymore.
I'm just saying, is that recorded about when he dies?
What? I retract that.
Okay, I just don't know this.
Right, because Lemech, we get the years that everyone dies in the Shais line, but in the Kain line, we don't get the. Okay, so that's the discussion why Shaul was allowed to do what he did, assuming that he was allowed what he could do. The Gemara in Kiddushin I put here talks about, well.
Hold on a second. His arms bearer does the same thing.
Ah, his arms bearer. That's what we're about to talk about. So the question is, he asked the arms bearer, would you be so kind to do this for me? So the Gemara talks about that a little bit. In general, the question is, if I hire a hitman, and that hitman kills someone, who's obligated? Me or the hitman? And therefore?
It's the killer who's obligated.
Right, so
the one that gives the orders is
awesome. Not the one who hired him.
No?
That is the question here about whether he had the right to do it, right? It would seem from that Gemara that had he done it, he would. The fact that the brother person gave you permission or told you to do it, that...
Well, that's what they're hired for.
But isn't he kind of an additional female lobby?
Correct, but again, does that mean whatever the king tells you to do? Right? When Shaul told Doeg Hadomi, go kill all the Kohanim, and no. Right? So again, that's the story. Not as much is said about him, but we'll just make note of that. Okay, very sad, very sad. So Shaul, his sons, his arms bearer, together with all of the people in his battalion, they all were wiped out that day.
But I'm saying, is the arms bearer in a different place than Shaul?
I don't know.
Because that's clearly suicide. It's following the model of the king.
Right.
We expect Shaul to do the right thing. We don't know about that.
Vayiru anshe Yisrael asher be'eva emek asher be'eva yarden kinasu anshe Yisrael v'chimesu shalvana v'yazu es harim v'yanusu v'yavo plishtim v'yeshvu v'hem. All the Jews in the towns around there realize this is bad news, and they realize the plishtim are wiping out the army, and they're going to come right into the Jewish cities. Right, so the Jews, so they just ran for their lives. They abandoned their cities, and those cities became Philistine cities. Right? They're just happy to get out with their lives. So the next day the Plishtim came around to see what spoils they could get from the battlefield, and they find Shaul and his sons there. What do they do? They chop off his head, they take off his armor, and they pass it around to the Philistine cities to show their great victory. His armor, they put up in a building in Ashtarot, and his body, his headless body, they nailed to the wall in Beit Shan.
Where is Beit Shan?
Beit Shan's actually a little bit up north.
And where is?
But not far from the Kinneret.
Where they put his head.
Ashtarot is that would seem to be in the Transjordan,
which today is Jordan.
Correct. At the time, it was part of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the people from Yavesh Gilad heard what happened here, and remember, Shaul had saved the people from Yavesh Gilad in his first battle, and they didn't forget that. So what did they do? Yudbeis ve'yakuma kol ish chayil v'yechu kol halayla v'yichu es gvi ashol v'es gvi asbanav nechomas b'yishan v'yavo yavesha v'yisro samsham. They went and they snatched Shaul and his son's bodies from the wall. They brought it back to their city and they cremated it. V'yichu et atz moseyem v'yikru v'tachas eishol b'yavesha v'yatsuma shivas yamin. Then they took his bones. They buried them, and they fasted for 7 days.
So these are Jews? Then?
These are Jews. Uh-huh. So what are the Jews doing?
So let's talk about what that's about.
Let's talk what that's about. That sounds reasonable.
I try.
The Tosfos Yontif talks about the idea. The Tosfos Yontif points to the Targum Yonasan, right? The Tosfos Yontif says, when it says they burnt the body, they don't mean they cremated it. But rather what they mean is that they embalmed it.
What?
They embalmed.
Why did they embalmed?
So it says, Lo kodem kvurosam machnitim osam vaidea chanita shihotzas kolei verma pnimus mame bimakomam bisamim mashicha saguf v'bayis mechus lo yisapish v'lo yasriach. They remove the internal organs and they use certain chemicals, preservatives, and with that the body doesn't decompose. And then slowly they remove the skin until only the skeleton is left. Like they did, arguably, to Yaakov. So he said that in fact they didn't burn it, but rather what we're referring to here is that they took the body and they embalmed it, and that's what they used to do to kings. That is not much better, right? That would be odd at least. If you look at the Radak says, "Vakol alayu kama the kolan al malchaya taman." Efshe shoyu daito kamosher kasev. Abu seinu sarfin al malachim. So they said, "No, it's something else. That when the king used to die, they used to burn everything that the king owned, in order that no one would come to use the king's stuff." Now, in ancient Egypt, they were very machmir.
The wives went too,
right. So, you've always wanted your husband to have a long, long, happy life.
Yeah.
Right. But I wouldn't put the wives and animals in the same...
Well, it depends on the wife.
Okay. So he says, in fact, he says, so one possibility is when he says that he didn't really burn the bodies, but really they burned whatever they had of his, and then they buried the bodies. That is what the Radak is saying. Or another possibility, it could be that they in fact embalmed them. This is very interesting.
They don't have the head. I mean, the whole thing sounds weird.
I mean, what are you going to do?
These people are a little, they remind me of some people I hear about on the news today. Fishtings and some people today.
We're not going to talk about them.
Okay.
They remind you.
Well,
okay? We'll just keep that to yourself.
You're preserving this body without a head.
Right. There is a machokas I just bring down here between the Beis Yitzchak of Yitzchak Shmolkish and the Achiezer about whether, and this happens to be a question that came up here last summer, if somebody is cremated, is there a mitzvah to bury the ashes? So the Beis Yitzchak thinks yes, the Achiezer thinks no. So here, it's interesting. It says that they burned the body, and then they buried the skeleton.
The bones.
Yeah.
You can really read it both ways.
So they skinned them then to get the bones?
I mean, either they burnt it, or they waited until the body decomposed. And they used to do in ancient times.
They collect the bones.
They collect the bones and the they put it in a smaller coffin.
Right.
Correct. So there's what to be discussed here. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar points out the fact that what the people in Yavesh Gila did was very admirable. He said, look at number 14, Gemilas Chesel Avelu Minayin. How do you know that you should be nice to somebody who's unfortunately lost a family member? Amalemi Anshi Yavesh Gila, Kemen Shinerag Shol, Vanav Amru Anshi Yavesh Gila, Oso Haish, Hitzelen Micherpas Bnei Amo. This is the guy, he saved us when we were in trouble. Don't we have to go help him in his time of need now? That they went and they spent the whole night doing this operation because they had Hakaras HaTov. They appreciated that something was done for them. Now the people from Yavesh Gilad weren't the best people ever. If you look at the Medrash, number 15, it says, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Olai Lirapes Mash Asa Gilad. He said, I've got to clean up what they're doing. Ma Asa? Kol Mishim Mavaki, Yisra Edom Sheker, Misham, Ha Yeholech Vesocher. Everybody knew that the people from Yavesh Gilad could be hired to purge themselves. So that's the case. Why does Eliyahu ha Giladi? Eliyahu ha Tishbi Eliyahu. He was from Yavesh Gilad. So how could so rotten people have such a great guy? So he said, "Bishvil she'asu chesed in matzmosav shel Shaul," because what they did right here. Because they were willing to put their life on the line to do a chesed for Shaul, who helped them out in their time of need, they got Eliyahu to come from them. So Shmuel Aleph has a very sad ending. But
it's really the middle of the book.
Correct, but it's not the end, right? It's even though we appreciate the ice cream, that's for sure. But this is the end of Shmuel Aleph, and we will continue to Shmuel Beis. Have happier times.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I want to read, you mentioned Lemach. You know, Lemach talked to me. Lemach lived for 777, three sevens.
Correct.
So maybe that's the you know, he lived for 777 years. Lemach.
Okay. Yep. He didn't look a day over 689, they said. Yeah. All right. All the best.
And they named a Boeing jet for him, too. 777.
I thought it was the Boeing Lemach. Oh, okay.